Chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5 this morning. Amen. Sophie's a good big sister. She's a good big sister. Sophie was one that got baptized last Sunday. Yeah, awesome. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5. And the title of this message today is Start or Restart. This is a series that we started a few weeks ago. And even if you've missed them, you can go back online and watch them at hfchurch.com. These are pretty much standalone messages as well. But there's seven principles that we've been learning from the book of Nehemiah, the Old Testament book, and it's seven principles for putting it together again. And the first one there is, I will find the strength to start. We talked about that last Sunday. Number two, the second principle that we're going to learn today is, I will take the first step, how to take that how to start starting, that first step of faith. We're going to talk about next week how to appreciate others, and then we're going to have Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday in between here, so we'll have to pick this back up later. But number four is, I will expect and reject opposition. You're going to be opposed in life, not only by the enemy, but by people that the enemy uses as well. I will build on my successes. I will celebrate to sustain my joy. And then number seven is, I will dedicate it all to God. And that's kind of the series that we're going to do over the next few months. And then we'll have Palm Sunday and Easter in there as well. But faith, I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That's what faith is. The greatest, and then what Dawson Trotman said, the greatest waste of time is the waste of time in getting started. It's just like Dad was telling me this morning. He didn't even know what I was preaching on. He said, you want to join me and let's hold each other accountable and let's start losing some weight. I said, Dad, we're going to start tomorrow. Not today, but tomorrow. And here I am preaching a message about starting. Start starting. And I'm wanting to put it off to tomorrow just because I know what's cooking at home. And I'm going to eat well when I go home and take a nap today. But that is the greatest waste of time, is the waste of time in getting started. And I'll be honest with you this morning, I have tried to start on a lot of Mondays. That hasn't happened yet, but tomorrow's the day. Dad said, he came up and we prayed, and Dad said, Mark, I'm hearing the number 195. And I said, I'm hearing that number too, but I'm going to raise you by 50. Okay, we'll move on from that. All right, how to start. Nehemiah 1, verses 3 through 4. We talked about this last week, how to start. They said to me, this is Nehemiah talking, they said to me, the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And so we talked about that last week, about how Nehemiah just did not jump right in to get started because he was in government. He was a cupbearer to the king. But he did three things that I think that we all need to get better at doing before we start anything for God, is about mourning. And that's not just crying. That's part of it. I mean, our emotions and things. But it's taking time to think and ponder and get with God. He fasted, and then he prayed before he got started on this project. I just want you to write down in your notes somewhere, because I hope I don't forget to say this, but this project was just an assignment. And it was an assignment for a season. Sometimes we reread these stories and we think, Nehemiah, this was a lifelong assignment for him. It wasn't. He was a cupbearer to a king, but God gave him an assignment, and this assignment lasted 52 days. 52 days. And so I just want to sow that little seed, because it's going to make sense here in a little bit. Now I'm going to give you a little background, a history lesson before we get into this morning. And in 587 B.C., Babylon had attacked Jerusalem and destroyed its walls and the temple, and all but a few of the people of the southern part of Israel were removed from their land and deported to Babylon, where they suffered in captivity. Almost 50 years later, in about 538 BC, Persia defeated Babylon, and Cyrus, the king of Persia, began to send some of the people back to Israel. In his first year as king, he sent a group back to rebuild the temple. Now listen to this. Nearly 100 years later, Nehemiah, an exile from Israel who had risen to become the cupbearer for the current Persian king, learned that the walls of Jerusalem were still in ruin. Nearly 100 years they'd been in ruin. Now, I want you to think about this. There was lots of people that walked by the wall being in ruin, and here's what they would do. I wish somebody would do something about that. It's kind of like us walking by our government today in politics. I wish somebody would do something about that. Here's the deal, and I just felt like I needed to sow this seed today. We got a bunch of little ones back here in the back, maybe somebody in here. And when somebody says, you know what, Dad, I want to be the president of the United States, you need to tell them, you go for it, son. Don't go. Don't get involved in politics, you know. That's the worst thing you want to do, son. We need to start speaking life over our kids and getting our kids involved in things that are going to change society. Government, business, and education are the three things that we need to get involved in as Christians to start making the change. Instead of walking by going, I wish somebody would do something about that. Okay? Don't shout me down when I'm teaching good this morning. But we've got to get involved, guys. We've got to get involved. Nehemiah got involved. And so here's the deal. Nehemiah, he started this project by making four decisions. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're going to talk about these four decisions that he made. Some of these were pre-made decisions, like what Dad, I'm using, even though this happened this morning, I'm using Dad and I's example. We've made the pre-made decision to do this, and I'm making it public, so everybody's going to have to hold me accountable now. And So Nehemiah didn't just walk by the wall and say, I wish somebody would do something about that. He felt God leading him as an assignment. We have got to do something about this wall. And so he took it personal. And so here's four decisions. Here's number one. You're going to have to, whatever it is that God's telling you to start or restart, rebuild, whatever, number one is you're going to have to decide to take a stand. That's number one. Decide to take a stand. And if you're in Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 2 until the end of this message, and we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 5. But in Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Art, I'm going to call him Art because that's a hard word, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, because we have to get in this culture. I'm going to go on and read this, and I'll go back. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire? And the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, Nehemiah didn't just stop and have a word of prayer with God. It was like in his mind, in his heart, he said, Lord, what do I need to say here? And it says in verse 5, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. This was a big step for Nehemiah to say this to the king, because you didn't go into the king with offering your emotions, because it was never about you. It's always about the king, right? And if you came in and you offered, you said, I have a request, O king, because something you're disgruntled with in the kingdom, the king had the authority to take your head off. That was the society back then, because the king didn't want any disgruntled, unhappy people living in his kingdom. So if he couldn't do anything about your request, he just killed you. So we did away with that problem. That's how you could solve that problem. How'd you like to be in that kingdom? Okay. That's why Nehemiah was even afraid to present his request to the king. Even though he was close to the king, he was his cupbearer and all those things, he took care of the king. The king heard him out. And here's the principle from this. Unless someone initiates a first step, there will be no chance to begin again. Somebody has got to be the initiator. We've got a lot of spectators today, amen? But we've got to have some initiators. Nehemiah was an initiator, and he got things started. He got the ball rolling, and he had to do it in spite of his fears. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Nehemiah actually knew that even though I am subject to the king, I'm also subject to even higher power than the king. And that's the king of the universe. And he was perfected in that love. He feared God more than he feared man. And so he was able to make that decision that day. He decided to stand. To put something together again, you're going to have to face your fears. Whatever it is, whatever you're rebuilding. It could be a marriage. It could be a career. It could be a job. I could name all kinds of things that we're all restarting and rebuilding. And every day, Every day that you get up and start in life, you're starting and restarting every day with God. And here's what I love about God. Every day is a new day. Amen. That's the good thing about with God. And here's the deal. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You may be here today and you're like, man, I just don't have the strength to start again. Well, ask God for that strength, because you can do all things through him who gives you strength. That's where our strength comes from. All right, here's number two. Decide to take a stand is number one. Number two is to decide to prepare for success. Now, here's the deal. We talked about this last week. We need to have a break up with our love affair of what success is. Sometimes we have this thought of what we think success is, and we need to get God's thoughts about what success is, right? Okay, and so Nehemiah verses 6 through 8 says this. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, everybody say with the queen. Okay, that's important. We'll look at this in just a second. Sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? And it pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors, watch this, of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. You think Nehemiah might have had this planned out ahead of time? He'd already had some pre-made decisions made up before he got the yes from the king. He'd already assumed by faith. I hate to use the word assume. By faith, he already knew the king was going to say yes. And so he already had his list made up. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. Now this is the principle. People who get things started prepare for success rather than worry about failure. And a lot of people get stuck in worrying about failure, and so they never initiate anything. They never get started. So people who get things started, and I'm even going to say people who get things done, prepare for success rather than worry about failure. Okay? And so we prepare for success by making, there's some little tidbits that came out of this passage that I just want to share with all of us. Because God wants to give us wisdom in this, all right? And we prepare for success by making our requests at the right time. God's got the ability to have you in the right time, in the right place. Amen? And that's what with Nehemiah. He was there at the right time, in the right place. The king asked the right question, and guess who was sitting by his side? The queen was with the king. It was perfect timing for this to happen. Because women tend to be more emotional. And if this guy, that's a good thing, okay? And so this king is detached from his emotions. I'm sure the queen kind of nudged him and says, you need to do this. We need to help him out. In fact, you know what? Nehemiah protects your life every day by drinking things and eating things before you do so that you don't die. So we need to take care of him. That's what a cupbearer's job was, by the way, in a roundabout way. So the queen was there by his side, and so the queen helped out in this whole process. We also prepare for success by being ready to move forward. Everybody say, move forward. Nehemiah had wisely spent his energy focusing on what he was going to do when the king said yes, instead of worrying about failure and the king saying no. He'd already made that pre-made decision. He's going to say yes. And what did he do? He made a list of the things that he needed. I need a letter. I need these letters to help me have safe passage. I need some timber so that I can start rebuilding the wall. He already had it laid out. So look at somebody and say, you need to make some pre-made decisions. All right. Some pre-made decisions for me is quit buying peanut butter. Then I might lose some weight. See, there it is. That's a little small thing. I know that but you can take that over into the spiritual, and that's what we do. Amen? I cannot not buy peanut butter for some reason. All right, number three, but I'm going to have to start that. Number three, decide to review the problem. Decide to review the problem. A lot of times we try to put the problem on the back burner. I was talking to Bobby this morning. He was talking about a problem that he has, and he said they're putting it on the back burner. He said, in fact, Mark, Pastor Mark, I think it's not even on the back burner. It's beyond the back burner. And I thought, that's what we do with problems in life. We just we procrastinate. We put it on the back burner. We'll take care of it one day. And then we try to hide behind spiritual things. I'm just waiting on God. you know, I'm going to pray about it. And God's saying, no, I need you to move forward and start doing something. Nehemiah 2, verses 11 through 13. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Is everybody being challenged and inspired and encouraged, I hope? All right, verse 11 says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate. We're going to come back to that in just in a second. Examined the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. I'm sorry, but when I read the Word of God and I see stuff like dung, I'm like, wow, God. Why would they have a dung gate in Jerusalem? And here's the only spiritual thing that I could come up with, because dung happens. That's all we need to say about that. All right. I know people are going to go home, you're going to be talking over lunch today, and you're going to say, what did you learn from the message today? Dung happens. All right. Okay, number one here, decide to review the problem. A personal review cuts the problem down to a manageable size. Nehemiah went and surveyed the wall himself, and he started cutting it down to a manageable size. It looked enormous, okay, from the outside, but when you started narrowing it down from gate to gate, then it became manageable. And then that's how you split it up. These people are going to work between this gate and this gate. These people are going to work between this gate and this gate. And we're going to cut this all down to size, and we're going to tackle this problem. I don't know how long it's going to take us, but with God's help, we're going to get it done. And he cut it down to a manageable size. You eat an elephant one bite at a time. Amen? But you got to learn. Sometimes we just see the problem. We get so overwhelmed that we don't even review it. We're just like, put it on the back burner. My God, I don't even want to deal with that. You know? And God's saying, no, I need you to deal with this right now in your marriage, in your job, in your church, whatever. There's been so many things that's happened in church over the years that I would just say, I'd put it on the back burners like, I'm going to pray and let God take care of it. And God would say, no, I called you to be the pastor, and you need to take care of it. And I'm like, no, God, I'm going to put it on the back burner, and maybe you'll take care of it by next Sunday. No, I need you to take care of it today. I've had those kind of things happen with me. How many of you ever had those things happen with you in life? Yeah. Don't put it on the back burner. Take care of it that day. And I promise you, you'll sleep better that night. I've learned in life that if I'll take care of today's troubles and issues and problems and circumstances that I face, if I take care of it with the best of my ability, with God's help, by nightfall, I sleep better that night. But when I don't, and it's something I try to carry over the next day because I put it off, then the enemy can creep in there and just play all kinds of mind games and anxiety and worry and fear and all kinds of stuff. So take care of the problems daily. Number two, there is a firsthand review of the problem gives a sense of the immediate need. And so that's where you're not putting it off on the back burner. You're actually like, okay, I know Nehemiah was walking around, and I'm sure he's like going, I cannot believe that my city, the walls of my city have looked like this for nearly 100 years. We've got to get something done about it today. So that firsthand review of the problem gives a sense of the immediate need. And then number three there is a firsthand review is that it renews a spirit of personal responsibility. So he took it personally. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to get somebody else to do this, or I'm just going to pray that somebody else will do this. Nehemiah took it personal, and he got started on the project. Now, I want to just talk about something for just a little bit here. We can certainly rush ahead when God wants us to wait, all right? We can do that. I've done that before. But today's message, I'm not talking about that in today's message. I believe, and I want to deal with the opposite problem, namely thinking it is spiritual to just wait when God has something for us to do. I believe that God is telling us more often than not to move, to do something, to act. Okay? Yeah, there's a time for prayer, but then there's a time for action as well. There's a time for waiting on God, and there's a time to getting up and dusting your boots off, and let's get to work and get something done for God. And so I'm going to show you an example in the Old Testament that was shown to me through studying this message that I have never seen before. All right? And this is Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. It says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." This sounds so spiritual, okay, guys? Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Egyptians are coming on their chariots, and they're bearing down on the children of Israel, and they're between a rock and a hard place, so to speak, and they're facing the Red Sea, and they've got the Egyptian army coming against them." And Moses stands up and says this very spiritual, eloquent message to him. And then he says in verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And they're all like, they're shaking. Wait, still? You know, come on, Moses. Now look at this. Never seen this before. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on.'" Everybody say, "Move on." Verse 16 says, he tells him to do something that sounded crazy. "Raise your staff and stretch it out over your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And they did. Isn't that powerful? But Moses was hiding behind some spiritual words. More often than not, God is telling us to act or to move, and we're hiding behind spiritual sounding words. Like, "I'll pray about it." And God's saying, "No, move. No, act. No, do something." All right? A good prayer to pray is this. When you're talking about prayer, a good prayer to pray is, "God, what do you want me to do next?" That's the good prayer to pray. All right. So that was decide to review the problem. Don't hide behind spiritual words and say, "I'm putting it on the back burner. I'm going to pray about it," blah, blah, blah. Don't even say, "Well, you know," and here's another deal with Nehemiah. "You know what? I'm going to call the pastor and tell him to build the wall." Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, okay? Because here's the deal, if God put it on your heart, it's your assignment. Not saying that we're not going to help, but it's your assignment. Everybody said? All right, number four, decide to ask for help. This is decide to ask for help. And Nehemiah was good about this, all right? In verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 2, it says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace.' I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me, and they replied, 'Let us start rebuilding.' So they began this good work." He enlists, we're going to talk more about this next week, but he enlists a whole bunch of help, but he initiated it and started the enthusiasm, the encouragement, the challenge, and all that, and God supplied the people to help. But he let him help. He didn't want to. I know we read the book and it's Nehemiah and we think Nehemiah gets all the glory. We're going to learn next week there was a whole bunch of people that helped Nehemiah get this job done. Jesus said this, and I'll just take this over in our spiritual walks with God. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you." God wants us to ask him for help. Amen? A lot of times we're too prideful even to ask God for help. We think we need to do it all of ourselves. God's saying, "No, I want to get involved in your day-to-day activities, and I want to help you from the smallest of things to the biggest of things." He wants to help us. God's a God of help. Ask, and it will be given to you. Galatians 6:2 says, "By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ." And here's the principle from this. To get help, you have to ask for help. And here's what I want to tell all of us in here. Even the Lone Rangers, you think you're a Lone Ranger. We need each other's help. We need each other. I need church on Sunday morning. I need to see people on Sunday morning. I need to brush shoulders with people. Just seeing you guys strengthens me. Being in fellowship with one another. We all have the same heart. We all love God. We love each other. You don't know it, but we're receiving strength from each other today, spiritually. That's why God called the church together. So we need each other. I know I shared this story our first Sunday when we started this message, and I wanted to share it again here about Gordon Bushnell, and he believed that there should be a highway between Duluth, Minnesota, and Fargo, North Dakota, because the government wouldn't build one, so he decided to do it himself. And with only a wheelbarrow, a number two shovel, and an old John Deere tractor, he started the 200-mile highway. And he was interviewed when he was 78 years old and had been working on the project for 20 years, and he had finished 9 miles of it. And he only had 191 to go. But here's the key. He never asked for help. And Nehemiah completed his assignment in 52 days because he asked for help. The church together can do more together than separately. All right? And I've often said this. I know there's... we talk about, you know, the division that's our country's in, and we talk about the division that races are in, and all this stuff that's going on today. And I'm a pastor, and so, but I'm going to tell you something that I see. The most divided thing on the planet is the body of Christ. And if we will come together, we can show this world who Jesus is. And that's starting to happen. The denominational walls are being broken down and all that kind of stuff. And people are starting to, I heard Pastor T.D. Jakes this week, and I was listening to one of his messages, and he was talking about, because I told Jada this morning when he was coming in, I said, I want to go to Pastor T.D. Jakes' church sometime. And I've never been there, but I want to go. And I said, because they got that crazy praise. I'm talking, when Dad said it was too quiet in here, it ain't too quiet in that church, okay? And I just want to go and experience it one time, just be in fellowship with them. And Pastor T.D. was talking, and he said something that just made me laugh. He said, some of y'all are just sitting out there with your arms crossed and like, what is going on here? And he goes, if you don't do it here, you ain't going to do it there, because we're all going to be in fellowship with one another. It's not, he goes, it's not just going to be your kind up there. It's going to be all kinds. And there's going to be some crazy praise going on up there, you know, too. So you might as well join in. I was like, this white boy wants to join in. And it was some good stuff. So we're all going to go to heaven together. Amen. Nobody's got the whole slice of the pie, I can tell you that. All we have to do is know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and we can have fellowship with one with the other. Okay? And that's got to stop in the body of Christ so that we can teach our government and this races and everybody in this world what it's like to be in unity with one another. Nehemiah's four decisions again. Decide to take a stand. Decide to prepare for success. Decide to review the problem. And decide to ask for help. Those are the four decisions that he made. And I want to read something here, because this was something that happened this week, and I just felt like it really hit me, really ministered to me, and I felt like there's going to be some people here that this is going to minister to today as well. Is a lot of times in our walks with God, we think it's either or, right? We're like, okay, God, I'm just going to use a crazy example is God wants me to sell it all and go to Africa. Okay, I'm not discounting that. I know we've got some people here that's been to Africa. But God may want you to keep your job and still go to Africa. Okay, and I'm not saying there are times that God speaks to us and says it's either or. I mean, I'm calling, this is your life assignment. You're going to go to Africa, or you're going to do this, or this is a life assignment. Sometimes, I think most of the time, our assignments are seasonal with God. And so I just, when I was reading this story, this something, and I know, I've known this all the time, but it was something that jumped out at me, was Nehemiah. He went back to being the cupbearer, all right? But this was an assignment for 52 days that he did for God. It wasn't a life assignment. And it was both and. He built the wall, helped rebuild the wall, but he was also still the cupbearer. Right? And in my walk with God, I've always thought, I've just got to be a pastor. I've just got to be all in as a pastor. Here's the deal. I'm all in as a pastor, but I'm also a real estate agent. I'm also a chaplain for a hospice ministry. So it was both and, not either or. And God kept telling me, Mark, I don't want you to, you're constantly coming to me, it's either or, and I'm saying both and. I'm saying it's all of the above. I've assigned you to do all that. I said, okay, God, I'm going to quit arguing about it. And here's the deal. The story I'm going to use for you, this is something my daughter and I do a lot. How many of you have ever seen the movie Radio? Okay, here we go. We're talking about food again, all right? Pastor Mark's getting hungry. There's a scene in there with Radio when they're at a diner, and he's sitting there across from the coach, and they're having lunch. And the scene is the waitress comes up there, and she asks Radio, what do you... what's your choice of pie today? It was either or choice. She goes, do you want apple or cherry? And he looks at her and he goes, both. He says both with an F, both. And so Tay and I do that. Jada will tell us what kind of dessert you're looking at. Tay and I will look at each other and say, both. And I'm bringing this over to this story, is sometimes we try to do this with God, either or. It's either pastor or this. It's this or this. And God's saying, it can be both. And you can do both well for me. I'm assigning you to do both. And I had this text this week, and I'm just going to read this, and I asked her permission, and she's in the back right now. It was Patricia, And she sent me this beautiful text about something God spoke to her through her devotional, and I asked her if I could share it this morning because I know it's going to speak to you guys, and because it spoke to me. And she said, I reread one of my devotionals this morning, and it made me very grateful for you. I felt like I needed to share. Thank you so much for your patience with me while I figure out how to juggle two jobs. I feel called to both, and it's been challenging trying to figure out my place in both and how to get into a good groove and routine. I'm working on figuring it out. God hasn't left me in this while I'm learning, and I'm thankful for you and HFC hasn't either. Here's my devotional. She says, you hear business experts tell you that if you want to be successful, you have to go all in on the one thing, you're growing, and there's no winning if your attention is divided. Here's the thing. It makes sense, and for the most part, I believe it to be solid advice. However, that has never been my circumstance. My work life has always been made up of bouncing between multiple areas of focus, each that God has called me to. Unfortunately, the question that the enemy has used to haunt and guilt me lately has been, how much more successful could you be if you abandoned this and went all in with that? Thankfully, in a series of God-ordained conversations, the Lord reminded me that he would never ask me that question because my attention to a task list has absolutely nothing to do with my success. Don't get me wrong, it is imperative that we give our best to where he has us. That's only because it's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to steward well everything he gives us. Our performance will never determine our outcome, but our obedience will. Let's reread today's verse, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Galatians 6:9. If you're struggling today with your assignment, whether you feel pulled in too many directions or exhausted because it's not the ideal situation, don't jump ship too quickly. Instead of feeling discontent in a complicated circumstance, focus on obedience. Get excited about chasing Jesus and let him deal with the details. Be faithful to his mission and let him determine your next step. Do everything you can do and do it to the best of your ability, but rest in the truth that his path to success looks entirely different than most of the world. Take the pressure to perform off your shoulders and just obey Jesus one step at a time in every area he has you serving. God, I'm sorry for ever thinking that I know better than you do. Help me to be diligent in my assignments from you and in all that I do. I pray that you are glorified above everything else. Thank you for the lessons you teach us when we're waiting to hear from you. I love you. Amen. That's powerful. That's powerful. I love the Apostle Paul was another one. And this is something the Lord taught me through Apostle Paul. Is Apostle Paul made tents and he started churches wherever he went. And that man, if you study the Apostle Paul, he was constantly on the move. And if God didn't want him to go to a certain area, he stopped him, redirected him. But Paul was constantly on the move, starting churches and all over Asia. And thank God he was obedient to that. He was obedient to do that, and he moved. I loved, we was up here praying this morning, and Kent Hawkins came up to me and said something. I was like, man, that is so good. He said, Mark, I just want to tell you something, and I want to pray over something that the Lord spoke to me this week. He said, I've been witnessing to a lot of people on my job and what he does, and he said, I would constantly tell people, you need to put Christ first in your life. And he said, I was praying about it over some of the guys that I witnessed to, and he said, the Lord corrected me and told me, he said, I want you to quit telling them to put me first. You need to start telling them to put me in everything. I was like, that's good. That's good, brother. And because sometimes we, you know, that rank. God wants to be in everything in your life, not either or, okay? It's both and. He wants to be involved in everything that you're doing. All right, here's what we're going to close with today. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and we're going to learn a few things from this passage. It says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet at his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, here's the things I want. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share from this passage. This can preach and teach in so many different ways, but this is what I felt like the Lord was saying to us today, to all of us. And this is what the Lord was telling Peter that day. Don't give up. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. Some of you have the spirit of give up on you, and you need to get it off of you in Jesus' name. You think it's over. God is not through. And here's the other thing. Stop washing your nets. Peter was washing his nets because he was done for the day. He was like, I've been out there all night long and hadn't caught a thing, and it's over. I'm going to go home and take a nap. And he was washing his nets. And the Lord told him to stop washing his nets and launch out into the deep. God wants you to relaunch. He wants you to go deeper. This is faith at its apex. To go deeper into something when it's not working. Everybody said, amen. He was telling Peter, I want you to go deeper when Peter was saying, God, it ain't working. Maybe tomorrow it'll work, but today the fish ain't biting. And we need to stop and wash up and go home. What God has for you is in the deep waters. And I love this about God. He's not a shallow God. He's an all-in God. Here's another thing that I learned from this text. God preaches and teaches in the shallow, but he blesses you in the deep. He wants to take you out into the deep waters. And here's another thing that I want to share. And this is why Peter fell down at Jesus' feet. And Peter got that. What Peter got the revelation of was that he's not God. This is God Almighty in my boat with me today, and he has blessed me. Some of you, just like Peter, don't believe in the God in you enough to go deeper. God wants you to, I know this is going to sound new age, but it's not. It's biblical. God wants you to believe in you because he believes in you. That's not new age teaching. That's not positive thinking. That's biblical stuff. God wants you to believe that he's in you and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Okay? Peter thinks it's over, but God is still moving. Some of you think things are over and it doesn't look like God is moving. I'm here to tell you God is moving. God is always on the move. Peter was washing his nets because all of his fishing experiences on the water, everything he'd ever been taught, everything he had seen, everything that he had done on the water said, you know what? This is before he was Apostle Peter. You know what, Peter? It is not happening today. There is no fish in this lake today to be caught. And here's what we've got to do as Christians and as believers. Every one of you in here have experiences in what you do for a living. But sometimes you need to overcome your experiences to have an encounter with the Almighty God. Go against the grain of your experiences. I'm sure that Peter, whenever Jesus said, launch out in the deep, I'm sure he was like, say, what? You know? He's like, okay, nevertheless, you're the rabbi. I'm not. And nevertheless, it's your word. You know, they've all been saying you're the Messiah. We're fixing to find out. You know? I mean, this is all going through his mind, I'm sure. Peter's just like we are. And he found out who the Messiah was that day. Called him Lord. All right? So Peter thinks it's over, but God is still moving. Overcome your experiences to have an encounter with the Almighty God. And here's what I want us to do today. And you need to do this quietly in yourself. And I'm going to pray this over all of us today. And I've experienced this myself. But we need to bind up a spirit of failure. Bind up a spirit of the fear of failure over us. Some of you, you may have failed in the past at something. But don't let that define you. God's not defining you by that. You're letting the enemy define you by that. Don't let that happen. You need to bind up a spirit of failure. Bind up the I can't do it spirit. I'm not good enough. I'm not educated enough. And we need to release the Holy Spirit over us, that can do spirit over us. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to pray this prayer over you. And then we'll close, okay? Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, I thank you for this word that's taught us how to start and also teaching us how to start and restart. God, helping us to know how to make these decisions like Nehemiah did, these pre-made decisions. and to do them all by faith, God. But Lord, also this story about Peter, God, there's so much to learn from that passage in Luke chapter 5. And God, I know that there's many here today that they may have that spirit of failure upon them. And God, I thank you that you're re-energizing them. You're giving them new strength, a new calling, a new vision, God, that that they're going to be starting again, God, in whatever it is. It may be in their marriage. It may be in their finances. It may be on their job. It may be in the ministry path that you have them on. But God, I pray that they would be just like Peter and say, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to be obedient. Your obedience commands the blessings of God. And so, Lord, I pray that they would be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit is telling them to do. And God, I thank you that you're removing the spirit of failure in the house in Jesus' name. You called us to be overcomers, not failures. And so, God, we thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. And God, I pray that people would leave here with that spirit upon them, God, knowing who they are in Christ and knowing who you are in them. And God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. As every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to make sure that everybody here and those that are watching online that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, when we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. God is good and all the time. Did everybody learn something today? Everybody going to get started? Today or tomorrow? Yeah, just you take your pick. Jada, would you come up here with me, babe? And we're going to stand up and we're going to speak a blessing over you and your family. If you have family there next to you, join hands with them. All right, we're going to speak this blessing over you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Hug somebody and say, start starting. Amen.
Was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth.